Father,
welcome to Aphon Kiss, written and read by Alice Day. Previously, David tried on Stan's trousers, then felt Pippa was anxious for him to leave. He visited the toilet while she washed their teacups. On his return, as she came out of the kitchen, they collided, and the inevitable happened. He kissed her and professed his love. When Craig came home, she suggested a party, and Craig suspected she was seeing someone.
Craig had joked about the very idea of his mother having a boyfriend, but her embarrassed silence had made him wonder. You haven't, have you? Pippa realised this was her chance to tell Craig about David. So when she saw his head tilted to one side with the question still in his eyes, she blurted out, as a matter of fact, I have been seeing someone, Craig. Not a boyfriend, exactly. I didn't tell you earlier because I wasn't sure how you'd take it. Well, I'm a bit surprised, but who is he? Do I know him?
No, he's the second head at our school. His name's David Mackey. He helped me so much when your father was killed. She obviously felt obliged to clarify the relationship.
We haven't done anything, you know. We're just very good friends. Well, to be honest, we've become quite fond of each other. Her face flushed bright pink again, and she quickly added, I hope you don't mind.
Her embarrassment was somehow endearing, and he rushed across the room and scooped her up into his arms.
Of course I don't mind. In fact, I'm delighted.
And when he looked into her face, her eyes were swimming with tears of happiness. In a flash, his relationship with his mother had gone from son to friend.
Sit down and tell me all about him, you wee rascal.
With a sigh of relief, she lowered herself onto the couch. Sitting opposite her, Craig said,
When have you been able to see him since I came home?
Wait a minute. Saturday afternoons, then Friday evenings at the pictures with Iris?
With a guilty smile, she nodded.
It wasn't all a lie. I was at the pictures right enough, but with David. You were so strange when you came home at first, Craig. I didn't want to upset you in any way. I know how much you respected your father.
I presume this guy's a bachelor, he wanted to know.
Not exactly. She took her cigarettes from the low-tiled mantelpiece of the interior grate she was so proud of and offered him one.
After they had lit up, she continued.
He wasn't called up because he has a heart murmur. His wife joined the ATS and became a driver to some major. On her very first leave after training, she didn't come home. And he thinks she's been having an affair with her boss. David has never seen her since. But she let him know when she was posted to the south of England, presumably with her lover.
So what's happened to her?
We don't know. That was 2 years ago and David hasn't heard a thing. And the army won't tell him where she is.
Well, it's an ill wind and all that.
It sounds as if he's got good grounds for divorce.
Do you think he might ask you to marry him?
Oh, Craig, even if he did get a divorce, and that would take ages, you know I wouldn't be allowed to marry a divorcee in the Catholic Church.
Craig rose, crossed to her, and kneeling at her feet, took her hands in his.
Forget what you're allowed to do.
Does he love you? Yes, he told me tonight. More importantly, do you love him? I'm pretty sure I do. At least I think about him an awful lot.
Right. Well, if a divorce goes through and you both want to marry, don't hesitate. Just take whatever happiness you're lucky enough to have found. If you love each other, don't waste a moment. I know I'm still young, but I've seen too much suffering and death already to believe that two decent people like you two, who've both been left alone, should have to throw away happiness because of silly regulations. Especially now with a war on and life so uncertain. By Jove, you have grown up. But of course you reached your majority last year.
Eager to change the subject, she continued, which brings me back to what started this conversation, your party. Now, you're sure you want it? He jumped up.
More than ever, because it's to be your party too, to introduce David to me and the family. That'll make even numbers. I'll phone the others tomorrow.
Thank goodness you had a phone put in while I was away. It was your father insisted, so that Irene and I could contact each other and for help if it was ever needed when he wasn't here. It didn't help much when he was killed.
Kevin was delighted to accept the invitation to Craig's belated 21st on behalf of himself and Christine. But when Craig asked him to pass on the invitation to Daisy, as he was on his way out for his final checkup at the hospital, Kevin said,
You should phone Daisy yourself. It's more personal, isn't it?
Okay, dokie, said Craig. She'll be thrilled. She's a real party girl.
From the hospital, he found his mother in the kitchen preparing vegetables and told her he'd been signed off. All was well and he had no further appointments. She promptly put down the knife, wiped her hands on her apron and gave him a big hug.
That's wonderful, she said.
Yes, isn't it?
He replied. Then he suddenly remembered. Oh, I better phone Daisy about the party. And he made his way to the telephone in the hall. Expecting one of Daisy's screams of delight, he was surprised when there was a pause, followed by...
Maybe, but that date's a bit tricky.
What do you mean, tricky? Either you're free on the 29th or you're not. Another pause, slightly longer this time. In an unusually quiet voice, she replied...
I think that's the night of Gerald's office, Dan.
Who's Gerald? A long silence. Hello? Are you still there?
Yes. Craig, I've been wanting to tell you for a long time. I should have told you right away whenever Gerald and I got together again, but I didn't. And then it just got more and more difficult to bring it up. Anyway, I was enjoying the dancing so much and Gerald doesn't dance.
Are you trying to tell me you've
got a boyfriend?
Yes. But we'd had a silly row and fallen out just before I met you. Then after I'd started seeing you, he turned up and apologised and begged me to take him back. But we're not engaged or anything. I was perfectly free to go out with you too.
But always in the company of others, is that it? What did you tell him? That I was a poor disfigured freak you'd been forced to cheer up. Someone you could never fall for.
It wasn't like that. I became very fond of you.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
He yelled and slammed down the phone with such force, his mother came running through. Craig, you'll break the phone. Then she saw his furiously angry face. What's the matter? What's happened?
What's going to keep happening for the rest of my life? He shouted at her. The party's off. Forget it.
And he strode to his room and slammed the door shut.
Pippa Stebbings knew better than to follow her son. She felt bewildered. Cancel the party? She had already invited Irene and John, followed by David, Margaret and Arthur, all of whom had been delighted. Partly because a party suggested Craig was definitely back to his old self. His sister Irene and husband John already knew, having seen him on several Saturdays when they'd had little get-togethers with him and Pippa. He'd told them several stories of Daisy's fun-loving behaviour, but Irene had wondered why he never seemed to see her on a Saturday, the usual night for dating. But she had accepted the two-for-one Friday's explanation and just decided to be flattered that he wanted to see the family on Saturdays. Now she had been looking forward to meeting this girlfriend who had wrought such a difference in her brother.
A Fond Kiss is by Alice Dale and produced for radio by Capital Radio Productions. Thank you.